You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Boise and Idaho as a whole is growing, and that growth affects every aspect of our lives as Idahoans, from housing to transportation and education, all the way to the environment. And these issues are taking center stage at Boise City Hall. In fact, during Mayor Dave Beter's recent State of the City address, he looked at all of these issues. He joins me live in studio to talk more in depth about proposals and initiatives that he and his staff are working on. Welcome to the program, Mayor.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
One of the things that you talked about during your State of the City were the five policy proposals that you came up with to impact housing affordability. Can you explain those to me?
You bet I will. First of all, it's tough. I don't want to kid anyone. Mm-hmm. I was really clear about that in the State of the City. The federal tools that we have had in the past have shrunk to the point that it makes it even more difficult. Just to give you a little bit of context, 1975, when Boise was 75,000 residents, we got $5 million from the federal government in community development block grant funding, which is the best source for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. You can really do a lot with that.
And it was 1975, so that $5 million actually was even more.
Exactly. Last year, we got $1.2 million under the same program. If you just kept up with inflation, not even allowing for the size more than tripling, mm-hmm. the size of the city, it'd be $23 million that we would have received. So it's important to get some context here about what we're up against. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the state gives no direct funding to cities for affordable housing purposes. In fact, the state has a trust fund, but they've never put any money into it.
You're kind of an island out here on your own.
Well, it's sort of like my millionaire fund. I'm still a million bucks short of my goal.
Me too.
So I think it's important to get some context, mm-hmm. that we're up against a lot, but nevertheless, we've put together a plan that we're excited about. And it, as you mentioned, there are five pieces to it. From a housing trust fund of our own, in order to purchase or take donations of land in these kinds of projects that will make them more affordable, having land is a big piece. It's not the full picture. But we've been able to leverage our own holdings, land owned by the city of Boise. Mm-hmm. We have a project called Adair Manor. It's going up right on Fairview Avenue, right downtown, and it's 140 units, and it's because we own the land. A number of other tools went in to make it, but starting off with the ownership of land to be able to put into a project like this can really help, and that's what we'd like to do over time, to have a trust fund. $20 million is our goal, half from the city, half from private sources. Mm. And we think that's a realistic goal to set. There are other types of incentives offered to developers if they'll build a more affordable. We're shooting at 80% median income and below. If they build housing that's designed to come in that range, we'll look at how do we lower or eliminate their fees, mm. through us. That's another possibility. We want to look at our zoning ordinance and see if we can't, do some more with that, make some allowances for more density in the appropriate places, because in the end, we need supply. We have the demand. If we don't have a supply of housing and see what we can do to increase that, we're not going to maintain that kind of affordability. We have great partnerships. The Idaho Housing and Finance Association is where the state does play in this, not directly, but we've had some good success over the last couple of years. In fact, the first on the low end, we have what's called New Path. We're going to dedicate, mm-hmm. it in about a month. Idaho Housing and Finance was vital to that project. We have a veterans homeless housing project that we're hopeful. They haven't awarded it yet, but it looks promising that the city and a private developer will be part of that. So, mm-hmm. along with our redevelopment agency, how do we take the tools? They're fairly limited, but how do we leverage those all we can?
Let's talk a little
to make that happen.
And let's talk a little bit more about density, because this seems to come up over and over again in the sense of, do we sprawl? And we've seen that in cities like Phoenix. Or do we become more dense? And in fact, we asked listeners if they had questions or comments. And there's a question from Davis. He emailed us. And I want to read his question verbatim. He says, does the city of Boise have a data-driven strategy to house people nearest to their work in order to reduce significantly the traffic on the main streets like Front, Myrtle, and State in Boise? And would that focus on high density in the downtown area?
Well, it's a... We do have a data-driven strategy. It comes both through the city and encompasses the Metropolitan Planning Organization that models a lot of these different things. So we do we rely and infuse as much data as we possibly can. The problem is these are independent actors. It's a market-driven society. It's a market-driven economy, obviously. And what those individual players are going to make those decisions based on that. So we can affect it, and we do push hard to get a mix of uses as close together as we can. We don't want only housing here, only commercial uses here, only industrial here. As much as possible, we wanna combine those as close as possible. That lowers the commute time or makes it walkable or bikeable. Mm-hmm. That's what we've pushed for. But again, there's only so much it's a market-driven economy with individual actors that are gonna make their decisions based on that.
And does that also come down to what you talked about earlier about land?
Absolutely.
Who owns the land?
Exactly.
Who can build?
Exactly. We're going to do all we can to affect that in the end.
And that's what matters.
There's so much.
And then you talked about transportation as well in your State of the City address. And this is a big issue as well, because I don't have the exact quote that you gave, but we all know that our commutes are getting longer in the Treasure Valley, right? I mean, I go back to when I moved here, and I always used to tell people it takes you about 5 minutes to get anywhere.
True.
And now that's gone out the window.
It's true. What I did say, and I'll repeat now, 80% of our trips are single occupant vehicular trips.
Mm-hmm.
20%, runs walking, biking, transit, carpooling. We believe that we can go to work on those percentages and really affect things in a positive way. Even small percentages can make a huge difference. So we're looking to do that. How do we push to change those percentages? But in the end, we need public transportation. We need it not just in Boise, but across the valley, especially at the size we are. If we could take a big leap and affect that, the consequences would be phenomenal. There's rarely been a metropolitan area that takes a big step at the size we are. They usually wait that every transit organizations I've talked to, and I've talked to dozens, if we'd only started sooner. Look at Seattle.
I always talk about Portland, Seattle.
Look at what some of them did better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to move now, and that's we don't have a funding source. That's the problem.
But how do you also work with other cities then? Because, I mean, Boise stops, Meridian begins.
Sure.
Then it's Nampa, then it's Caldwell. But you oversee the city of Boise. So it's
Absolutely.
Not like you can go into Meridian and say,
Exactly.
our buses are gonna start picking people up in Meridian.
Absolutely right. But one thing that we have broad agreement on across the valley, I don't care where you are, you want public transportation. I mean, we have, members of Valley Regional Transit. I don't care if you're in really any part of the Treasure Valley, whether it's Greenleaf or CUNA or wherever you are, cities in Canyon County, Middleton, they all want it, and they want it soon, which means we need a funding source. We don't have the ability in the resources that we have in cities and counties right now to bring a system.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is taxing authority, not taxes. We just need the ability to go to our citizens and say, will you approve? Up to a cent of sales tax, which almost every urban area that has a good transit system has that authority. And what makes me at least hopeful, the pathway, I think, is the initiative process.
And I was going to ask you about that. So during your State of the City address, you pledged to work towards a ballot initiative by 2020. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think there are two initiatives that made it on the ballot. The state 6 or 7 years ago made it more difficult to get an initiative on the ballot, and in the hopes to keep them off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two of them, even despite that higher bar, two of them made it on the ballot. You can't get more diverse issues, maybe, horse racing and the Medicaid expansion, but they were both successful in getting
them. And they'll be on the ballot in November.
And we'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure one of them, if not both of them, will pass, and we'll have a playbook on how to do this. We'll know, the resources you need, the strategy they employed. We're pretty, I've endorsed both of them. I think the Medicaid expansion is one of the most important issues we've had in a long time, and probably the most important mm-hmm. single issue on the ballot this November. So we have good relationships with both efforts, and we can learn should one of them pass. And I think the likelihood that at least one will pass is pretty high. You can only run an initiative on an even numbered year, but we'd have 2 years, and we just start right away. There's already a decent effort out there. Urban areas around the state, Twin Falls needs it badly.
Mm-hmm.
What
would you want the initiative to look like?
Well, that you can go to your citizens at a 50% threshold. Will you approve so much a part of sales tax for these purposes?
So you're specifically
any lawful purpose, but it leave it up to them. Nobody wants to use it; they don't ever have to touch it. But it could be for, it might be parks in one place. It might be property tax. It might be to lower the property tax.
But you're looking at sales tax, sales tax within the city of Boise to potentially be able to move forward with programs like transportation, other things like that.
But again, you don't have to use it at all. The voters have control over it. They can vote yes or no. I've seen polling over the years, some fairly recent. Boise State's survey indicates mm-hmm. Idahoans like to have that authority. They may vote no when you bring something, but they're in control of that, and they recognize that, and they would like that authority.
And does this come back to what you said in the very beginning of our conversation with the type of federal funding that we got back in 1975 with $5 million, fast forward 2017, not even $1.5 million?
Absolutely.
So somewhere, someplace, you have to find money.
Well, that's it. And we'd like it to come from other places, too. But, we want to have control over our destiny. I think it, more than anything else, cities, urban areas, metropolitan areas need the tools to fashion the future that they want. That's what our citizens want. They want to be in control of it. Again, they may say no. But I think that's really all we're looking for. Is just those basic tools to be able to fashion the destiny that we want.
I'm speaking with Boise Mayor Dave Beter. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We'll talk a little bit more about some environmental policies that could potentially impact the City of Trees. Also, if you have questions for the mayor, feel free to email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We will try to get to those. Also, a quick note, the Treasure Valley, as we're just talking about today, is growing rapidly. And as our population booms, the need for a shared vision among the region's leaders has become even more important. So that's why Boise State Public Radio and the Idaho Statesman have joined forces. And we are having a discussion and a conversation on October 3rd at 5:30 with 5 Treasure Valley mayors, including Mayor Beter. So mark your calendars, Wednesday, October 3rd. At 5:30. The event is free. It is open to the public. Seating is limited, though, so you have to reserve your seat by going to boisestatepublicradio.org. Again, we will continue our conversation with Mayor Beter right after this. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. I'm continuing my conversation with Boise Mayor Dave Beter about initiatives and proposals to address numerous needs in the City of Trees. If you have questions or comments, you can email us now at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And Mayor Beter, I do want to get to some of the listener emails that we received. One from Colleen, and she said, this is a Twitter comment, and she said, building new housing as ADA compliant would allow owners to age in the same house. Moreover, anyone can be a single accident or illness away from needing an ADA design, wheelchair-compatible home, etc. These ADA home designs are attractive and, in the long run, economical. Are you looking at anything like that when it comes to housing?
Well, we absolutely are. It's interesting sometimes the timing of things. But the question, I just had a meeting this couple days ago on this very issue. How do we push harder? We, you know, this person I met with who happens to be in a wheelchair himself said, why don't we aim to be the most accessible city, especially in the core
of downtown, really?
You know, I mean, and I think it's a very good point. And he wants to put an effort together. I think that's a very important point and one that we need to work on. I think we, you know, we've pushed hard in a number of ways. Happy to see all the curbs, for instance, that we've been able to retrofit to make them easier for everyone, but especially those in a wheelchair. But I think we need to push harder, and we aim to. We're going to be back with some more specifics. But I think it's a good point and one we need to take to heart.
And then another Twitter comment was, here's an idea for Mayor Beter on housing. New housing should have at least one bedroom on the first floor for people as they age or have health issues so they don't have to struggle upstairs. Most new small housing has all the bedrooms on the second floor.
You know, it's a valid point. It's one, again, you're faced with, you may have some pushback about, you know, why are you telling me how to build my house, right? But I think it is a valid point and one that gets more so, you know, to that degree may be a bit more. But I think an awareness of you know, we are an aging population overall. We're happy to see a pretty diverse demographic in the city of Boise, but I think it's one that becomes more important and, you know, one we can certainly talk about. But I do think you're coming close to a line there. Well, no, we don't want government telling us how to build my house.
Let's talk about the environmental initiatives that you spoke about in your State of the City address. The first one, talk about this freeze on new development in the Boise foothills. And you're talking beyond the estimated 400 lots that currently are allowed under our existing zoning.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we don't know exactly how many lots are left. We think it's around 400. Mm-hmm. The, you know, about 20 years ago, before I came into office, a huge effort went into write the Boise Foothills Plan. And they spent 4 or 5 years on it with all these different interests represented, neighborhoods and developers and landowners and recreationists. And they fashioned a Foothills Plan that was really quite a good piece of work. It was a number of trade-offs that went into that. But we're approaching the conclusion of that plan. And I think it's important to say, you know, at its conclusion, we collectively ought to say we're going to stop there because the resource is so important. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, we talk a lot about being a city of imagination. And when you imagine the future, I think everybody imagines the foothills the way they are without development.
It is a part of it is what I think a critical part of what makes Boise, Boise.
Absolutely true. The river and the foothills are our hallmarks, and we've been given this great, you know, geographic environmental gift, and we need to protect it. Twice the citizens of Boise have voted to tax themselves to preserve it in big numbers. I think it's important that we say that and we say it clearly. And, you know, we're going to have a discussion about it. But what I was concerned about, what I am concerned about, is, well, just give us 10 here and 15 here and 30 here, and pretty soon you've won off to a huge number. I think it was important to say, no, I think we should stop. And that's not just me or even the city. It's really a collective, you know, that is too vital. You know, it's fascinating to watch this. In the first Foothills levy, the Chamber of Commerce voted in opposition. You know, 50, you know, 10, 12 years later, they voted unanimously
right
to support it because of, you know, people understand this is not it's not just for one segment. It's all our calling card.
There are not a lot of major cities where you can literally go out your back door and have the outdoor recreation that we have in Boise.
Absolutely.
And is that part? I mean, that's part of it.
Oh, I don't think there's really anything like it. And, you know, when they talk about outdoor recreation opportunities, they usually mean half hour, however far away. It's, you know, it's a sacred part of living here, I think, when you get down to it. But it does mean that other things have to happen. It means we have to accept more development of more housing, in particular in all parts of the city.
There's a trade-off there,
and I think it's one that we're willing to make, but that's the discussion we're having.
Now, another thing that you talked about, which has gotten a lot of buzz, is pledging that the Boise facilities and operations will be entirely powered by renewable energy by 2030. So that's 12 years from now.
It's an aggressive but an appropriate goal for all of us, for the city. We want to be careful to make sure, as you've indicated, the city facilities and our city operations will be. I think that's we've been, asked by a number of citizens and groups of citizens saying, we need a goal to shoot for. And we've really done our legwork on this. There are a number of cities that have, set some goal and declared victory and really didn't do the math, dig in. There's a mayor's climate change agreement that a lot of cities signed, a lot of mayors signed and didn't. And said that they made it and they didn't. So
from a cost perspective, then, are we looking at a lot of cost when we do this?
We don't believe so. Over that amount of time, we've already made a number of decisions affecting this, but the cost of renewable energy is coming down significantly. We have a geothermal system
like nobody's business, really.
It's amazing, and we're going to do all we can to expand that. Cost of solar has come down significantly. Obviously the kind of energy we have, the hydro energy that we have, is a big chunk. So that gets a fair amount down the way. But we think we've done a lot of work on it to make sure when we set it that it's something achievable. But even the having of the goal, even setting that goal, affects an awful lot of things, and it gets people's attention in the city and out.
And frankly, it holds you accountable.
Absolutely. We're going to have to, we'll see how long I'm around for that, but I'm going to, they're going to pay paying attention. When you make a public statement like that, we expect that. We welcome that. But we're already excited because, people are very excited. They're very they're looking to us to lead, and then we're going to have a broader discussion about what should be our community goal. What kind of goal should we set as a city as a whole?
Did you have any idea when you took over as mayor that you would be talking about renewable energy, but even density to the way we're talking about it? Because it was a completely different city when you became mayor.
Well, I'd been around cities and doing local government work as an attorney. So a lot of it was pretty familiar to me. You can see, it's not too hard to see where we're headed. So a fair amount of it I did expect, not to the degree and in the way that we're seeing them. But it's, I love it as much as the first day I started. It's the biggest honor I've ever had to be the mayor of my hometown. I hope to stay longer. But I think the discussion, what we've talked about in the state of the city has really resonated. I've been very pleased with what we've heard. One quick thing, if we have a little time, I talked about being a city of kindness and wonder. And it's been so well received. People understand, I think, what people are most concerned about as we get bigger. There are lots of issues, but they want to have the small town feel and the basic civility and kindness that we see around us. And so we're going to go to work on that. We're going to define that and call upon our citizens to come forward and really spell that out and really work to, we welcome you. You're going to come from other places. Here's what we expect of you. And for ourselves, this is what we expect of ourselves.
It's really interesting. When I moved here almost 20 years ago, my mom said to me, she goes, "It's not a small town, but it's got a hometown feel."
I could have said it better than your mom. Yeah, that's absolutely it. And we believe, I have seen that we've been able to retain it as we've gotten, I lived here when Boise was tiny. I've seen it. We've been able to hold that. One of my indicators is, do people let you into traffic? I try to let people into traffic.
Do they wave at you and say thank you?
And do you, that's a big deal. And I'm happy to say all around the town, all around our city, it's very alive and well, and those things add up. People always come and say, people greet me in Boise, and I don't even know them. That's the kind of thing that makes a huge difference. You know, do you know your neighbors? Do you help them if they need it? I mean, those kinds of things are really irreplaceable. And I believe we've been able to retain that. We need to work hard to retain it as we go forward.
And I have one last listener comment, and then I'm going to let you go. So this is from someone. It was an email, and their handle is MP3 Productions. So don't know their real name, but that's their handle. But they say, what are you going to do right now for all the native Idahoans and other folks who have lived in Boise for a long time to protect them from being priced out of living in Boise?
Tough one, as we've indicated. What we need to do is build supply. I know that may not be what he wants to hear, but there are basic, supply and demand kind of forces at work here. And I think we've been able to, we're affordable overall. You look at other peer cities, we're more than holding our own there. So I think we're gonna move on all these fronts. But for you as well, for we that have been here for years, my family's been here over 100 years. You still need a supply, or you're going to be feeling that too. So it may not be exactly what he wanted to hear, but I think that's an important piece of this, is to, again, stay out of the foothills. But there's going to be a level of change around town that I think you need to get. You need to understand. We hope we can help them understand, but that's going to help affordability for you as well.
And is that part of it, that honestly we all have to realize that it's changing?
Yeah, I like it or not. And I understand people's response. I've been here and seen the ebb and flow of this. But I was here in the 80s when nothing was going on, and that was not preferable. This, relatively speaking, is not as fast as we've grown in other times, but I think Boise's better than it was. I loved it when I was growing up, but Hyde Park wasn't a cool place.
Right.
Downtown had
seen better
days. My husband
called it, said it was a bomb shelter in
the
80s.
It was. And,
that's what he said growing up.
I'm optimistic because I've seen that happen, and I hope to residents be optimistic. There's reason to, but we need to work hard on a lot of these aspects of it. So.
Well, I really appreciate taking your time today and coming in and talking to us. My guest today, Boise Mayor Dave Beter, thanks again for the conversation.
You bet. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We will be back right after this.